fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with John Kazanjian. John's been with us all week, kind of talking about his journey as a disciple. He's a married man, a beautiful family, beautiful wife. He's a grandpa. He's running a very successful business. He's a member of our parish, Christ the King, here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I've pulled him in to try to help him kind of share the anatomy of the journey of one disciple. And that's kind of what we've been talking about over the last few days. And I just have found it personally very inspiring and very instructive. And if you haven't had a chance to hear John and I in our discussion, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there right on the computer. While you're there, I encourage you to browse the website. There's a lot of great stuff there, a lot of free material and talks, articles, things that are there to help you grow as a disciple and to encourage you. I want you to know you're not alone. We care about you. We care about your journey. We want you to know that we want to be able to do whatever we can do to support you. So anyway, off to another day with John. John, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yeah. Okay, we talked about this process as you begin to give your life to Christ as a disciple in his church. The Lord's going to take you deeper into prayer because he wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And there's no replacement for that. I mean, that's a fundamental thing. If a person's not praying regularly, then they're not really serious about growing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And reading scripture, sacraments, all that stuff becomes a key part of life. And you talked about the importance of community, and that is concretely incarnating it, not just in community and going to church on Sunday, but also sharing your life with other people.
Right.
That can encourage you, to lift you up when you're down, to be accountable to, mm-hmm. Where you have other brothers and sisters saying, look, I know you're committed to wanting to follow Christ, and I am mm-hmm. too, and we all know that we're weak and we're in a battle. Let's help each other do that. Let's be right. intentional. Let's really...
There are apps for that now too, Peter.
Yeah, there are apps. Yeah, there you go. Right. And then we talked yesterday about kind of the Lord's process of discipleship, of forming us and teaching us where right. he leads us, first of all, to bring the idols in our life, the things that we put before him and others, to him so he can take those away. And the only way we can get rid of those idols ultimately is in obedience, and it's because we trust him. Mm-hmm. And there's a greater love. We know that could be painful when we let go of mm-hmm. this idol, but we right. know he's enough for us.
Right.
And then you talked about the importance of having the right kind of relationship with our money. And today I'm hoping you could talk a little bit about time. Just share a little bit about what you learned kind of growing as a disciple.
Yeah, so, you know, as a family man, obviously you have to really set apart your life for your family, for your life together, for your children, for raising them, for loving them, for being with them, for spending time together, even when you'd rather do something else, like golfing or whatever people want to do. I'm not a great golfer.
No, you're not opposed to golfing, are you?
I'm not opposed to golfing,
good.
Although I did
I was about
almost
to cut you
hit
out of
you,
this if you were
the last time we golfed with my golf ball.
Yeah.
I won't tell that story. But anyway, your time is also not your own in a sense. The Lord is generous with us. It's not like my life is like I don't do anything unless he tells me that I can
right.
do it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I think it's important to recognize that my experience of asking the Lord what he wants from me has almost always, I would say well over 90% of the time, an invitation mm-hmm. and an offer. Mm-hmm. Even to the point of when I was praying about moving to Michigan, which was certainly the most difficult decision I probably made in my life after walking in the woods and deciding to follow the Lord, was to say, this is not mine, but Lord, what do you want me to do? And he regularly says, you're putting before me, John, things that are all good. And you can serve me in any of those ways. So what do you want to do? What do you feel like will best allow you to serve me?
Yeah.
And I think prayer is such a key ingredient of that, because I talk to people who say, I pray, but I don't hear the Lord. Mm-hmm. Or I pray and it's dry and they give up. And I think there's a way in which God's calling you to be faithful even when you don't see, even when you don't hear, knowing that it's having an effect. You're serving the Lord even when you don't see it's having a big effect. What am I doing? Am I spinning my wheels? What am I doing? I think I've even shared with you a time when I was in Turkey once, got there, everything was going wrong. Everything I had set up hadn't been happening. I went into the chapel, I knelt down, and I said, Lord, what am I doing here? Am I just wasting my time? And I just sat there, and I felt like the Lord said, are you willing to waste your time for me?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you? And my response was, Lord, I want to waste my whole life for you. And if it means coming so many thousand miles from home to waste my time for you, I'll do it.
Yeah, there's that tension between faithfulness and success. Like, sometimes in serving the Lord, we experience a lot of quote-unquote success. Like, things are happening. Good
right.
stuff's going on.
Right.
And other times, it doesn't happen that way. As American men, it can hit us hard because our identity's caught in, I want to do something that's making a difference, that's successful.
Right.
And Mother Teresa's whole line, you're called to be obedient, faithful, basically, is the bottom line, right? And so that's a hard thing to learn. The Lord wants us
sure.
to learn that along the way. So really back to time and how...
Yeah.
How did you tithe your money? Did you
right.
learn to tithe your time?
Yeah. So look, being a disciple involves making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the bottom line. And if I'm not making disciples, I'm not a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is essential to what I'm doing with my time. Every day you have time to either give to yourself or to give to others. And when you're giving your time to others intentionally, with the focus of, we're not necessarily talking about Christ directly, but how am I loving, serving, giving, teaching, assisting, whatever it is. It's a sacrificial thing. Whether that's at work, when I'm doing my work, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Yesterday, I spent 10 hours at my desk. I was being a disciple yesterday because that's what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. The picture is, even from the start, you say, most people who are listening, let's say, are married. I want to get serious about what the Lord wants me to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is your relationship with Him. Secondly, in the church. Secondly, is your fundamental vocation. Your fundamental vocation
right.
is to be a husband and to be a father, right?
Yeah.
And so the first place you discipled was right there. I mean, you poured yourself into your children, you
right.
and Michelle. To raise them to become disciples of Christ. You train them in the way of the Lord. You
right.
love them in that direction. So I think a lot of times guys don't see that. They don't see that clearly, that my role as a father to help lead this family toward Christ. My passion is to make my home a domestic church. My passion
mm-hmm.
is to not only that I learn how to pray or that my wife and I learn how to pray. I want to teach my kids how to pray.
Right.
I want to teach my kids how to follow the Lord. And it's the thing that if I asked, all your kids are grown now, if I brought them in here, I know one by one, I'd say, what's your dad's number one passion? And what's the thing he was most concerned about raising you was that we learn how to love the Lord. We learn how to walk in the Lord
in
His church, right?
They would say that.
Yeah.
And that's I hope they would say that. I think
that's the first place of making disciples,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And we invited people into our house to do that as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
We had international students from China, Ghana, Slovakia, Mexico. We invited them into our house to live with us, to be able to witness to them. Some of them came to conversion in our house. All of them,
your
I think, came to
missionary.
A deeper conversion.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Our home became a domestic church.
Right.
I mean, literally, we invited a woman from China who grew up an atheist, who came to the University of Michigan as a grad student, came to live with us. And after a year, she had been baptized and had come into the church. It was really surprising that our family, just by living life, could witness to somebody like that and have such a profound impact upon them.
Yeah.
So for us, living Christ was just a way of life. We just kind of said, this is what we're going to be all about. And that was a very key thing. We decided, look, we were looking around at some of our friends who were from Protestant churches, and Michelle and I looked at each other and said, these people set up their lives with an identity that their kids are going to become missionaries. And we looked at each other and said, well, that's Catholic. We're going to grow up to be saints and missionaries and martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we want to do. This is what we want to do with our time, with our life.
Yeah.
It needs to be that. And we're going to encourage one another in it. We're going to love one another in it. We're going to look to people that are doing it. And so like early on, we said, okay, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be intentional about doing that?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to say? How are we going to live? What are we going to do this year? I remember one year we said, okay, this year we're going to forego Christmas presents and we're going to give all our gifts away. Other family members give us so many gifts anyway, and
right.
it's not like the kids were not going to get any gifts. They were still going to get overloaded. But we said, as a family, together, even the kids, we're going to take that money and we're going to give those gifts to the needy. We chose Angel Tree, the children of people who are in prison. Even something simple like that. But it was also radical. It was radical for the kids.
Yeah, and I think part implied in what you're saying is the fact that you and Michelle both have your hearts set on loving the Lord and bringing your children into a relationship with Him and raising them in Him. And so that's an adventure. And it's a challenge.
Right.
Every kid's different. You're trying to say, what is the Kazanjian domestic church going to look like?
Right.
And how does that happen? It's not just you get ideas out of books and brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, what's our conviction about raising our kids?
Right.
You're on your knees before the Lord praying mm-hmm. for your kids. Mm-hmm. You're getting, mm-hmm. God is inspiring you, giving you ideas of things to do and how to shape your life concretely
right.
in a way to win your own children.
Right.
And to bring other people, you said, into your life
right.
to expose your kids to other people that reinforce the very thing that you're trying to live for, who are attractive and alive in the Lord. Mm-hmm. We did the same thing as one of the best things you ever did is just kind of open your house to lots of people coming through, lots of people, very different people who also share their stories. And
right.
your kids hear the stories, they see the people, and these people sometimes build a relationship with the kids and very loving relationships.
Right.
And it totally reinforces the life you're trying to lead.
It does. And then God starts doing things that really surprise you because that's just the way you assumed it was going to be. But then a big surprise came. After 10 years of living this life, of doing these things, then another invitation came, which really surprised me, which I hope we can talk about tomorrow. I see we're getting tight on time,
but
just the idea of you calling me in 1999 and saying, Ralph's going to Turkey, would you go with him? Mm-hmm. And being an Armenian, that was a big deal for me. The Armenians were persecuted by the Turks. Over 1.5 million people were killed by the Turks. My family grew up in Turkey. Everybody, all my ancestors are Armenians. And here I was being invited to go to Turkey. And that was a big step for me for thinking that, what am I doing? I'm just a family man. I'm just a businessman. Now Peter's asking me to go with Ralph Martin to Turkey to really be kind of an out there missionary.
Yeah. And to help the local church.
That's
really
right.
Help the local church. And you speak Armenian. You
right.
speak Turkish.
Right.
And sort of you were an ideal guy. And
yeah.
You're like, wait a minute, me?
Yeah.
I mean, what do I have to
offer?
You just want me to carry the suitcases?
Right.
Is that why you're calling
exactly.
me? You know,
yeah,
my
job was to make sure that Ralph got home safely.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Are you asking me to write a check? I mean, what is it you're talking
yeah.
about? No, we want you to be a part of this mission to help build the church and strengthen the church, and you have a lot to give. And now, we only have a few seconds, but how many trips have you done now to Turkey over the last?
Somewhere around 40.
Yeah, like 40 times you've been to Turkey. And what happened was, as the Lord led you there, your life and business and family had also changed. Your children were raised. They were older.
Mm-hmm.
You had a little more freedom to be able to travel financially. You were in good shape. You were able to leave work at various times. So you had freedom.
Right.
Your life just kind of opened up
mm-hmm.
for this other dimension of mission that the Lord wanted you to express in your life. And so we have one more show tomorrow, John, and I hope you can come back and just share with us what that looked like and how the Lord has led you and Michelle
love
into this
it.
Wonderful ministry of Unbound and other kinds of things. So
thanks.
Friends, you know, each and every one of us are called. You're called and gifted. And the key is to pursue the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seek discernment so you can step into the Lord's purpose for you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789 or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.